Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Greece and its international creditors remained at loggerheads today over reform measures that Athens must introduce to unlock billions of euros in loans and prevent a likely bankruptcy of the country. With talks in Brussels at an impasse, leaders from the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission raised the stakes by putting forward their joint position on the kind of reforms they would accept to offer Greece a financial lifeline. They include broad pension cuts, higher revenue from sales tax, and a faster elimination of tax exemptions. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending June 18th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 16.0. Corn this year, 19.6. Next year, 11.7. Soybeans this year, 4.4. Next year, 7.4. The Commerce Department today says that Americans increased spending in May at the fastest rate in almost 6 years. Personal spending jumped a seasonally adjusted 0.9% from a month earlier. Consumer spending is the biggest driver of growth in the U.S., representing more than 2/3 of output. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,904, up 21 points. The NASDAQ, 4524, up 8.25. And the S&P 500 is 2100, and it is up almost 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Heavy rain occurred last night from the interior west-central portions of Iowa into northeastern Missouri and a part of west-central Illinois. The precipitation will continue to work its way eastward, diminish a little bit during the day today, and then re-intensify overnight tonight. We're likely to see this wet pattern continuing into the day on Friday. In fact, some of the areas in Ohio and Michigan will continue to get precipitation even into Saturday morning. The precipitation will be locally heavy and will continue to have problems with surplus moisture across a big part of the Midwest in areas from Iowa and Missouri into Ohio and Kentucky. These areas will see not only saturated soil prevailing for a while, but will also encounter areas of flooding that will likely worsen once again. A lot of the rivers and streams have only recently begun to recede from the heavy rains of last weekend, and it won't take long for flooding to return to many areas. The setup is going to create a lot of other problems as well, with nitrogen depletion occurring in some of the areas that are wettest. We'll also experience some problems with standing water in some fields, and that could cause a little bit of damage to some of the crop. We may also experience soft wheat conditions deteriorating. That's already been an ongoing issue, and it looks like the situation will get a lot worse because this isn't the only rain event that's going to impact the Midwest. We're expecting more showers Sunday and Monday, additional rain possibly at midweek next week, Wednesday into Thursday, and yet another possibility of rain in the following weekend. The frequency of rain is much too high for soft wheat maturation and harvesting, and there will continue to be a big concern about quality declines across that region. We're also expecting, obviously, that the corn and soybean crops will see less than ideal conditions, and some of those unplanted fields will continue to be unplanted and probably be left fallow for the season. We do expect the temperatures to stay relatively favorable across the region over these next few days, but there will be a bit of a cool-off that will take place. None of the cooling is expected to be so extreme that we have a negative impact on the region, but we will see those high temperatures falling back more into the 70s as we get involved with the greatest amount of precipitation. The coolest day will probably occur as we go from Friday into Saturday. Those 2 days may actually generate a few pockets of upper 60 degree highs during the darkest period of time that's associated with the heavier rains. We'll expect other areas to be mostly 70s and lower 80s, and as we go through the day today, it'll be a warmer day than that. We'll look for highs across the region running upper 70s and 80s. Even some temperatures over 90 will occur in the south from Kansas into portions of the lower Ohio River Valley. That kind of warmth, though, will disappear for a little while. We'll see it try to come back into the region later next week, but most likely all the precipitation and cloud cover will hold those temperatures back. We'll see a lot of daily highs at that point in time running upper 70s into the lower 80s. Our low temperatures at night are expected to be rather mild as well. Nothing too cool, though. We'll see temperatures running mostly 50s and lower 60s during the cooler days, which will be probably Saturday and Sunday. Otherwise, we'll see those lows running mostly in the upper 50s and 60s with a few areas in the south near 70. The same wet pattern impacting the lower Midwest will also impact parts of hard red winter wheat country, especially as we get into the latter part of next week and the following weekend. Until then, the conditions will be relatively good for crop maturation and harvesting, but the rains that may occur next week could become problematic for parts of Kansas as well as northern Oklahoma and Colorado, where the harvest is underway, and the precipitation would only create additional concern over the quality of that crop. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether it's quickly approaching or many years away, Busey Wealth Management provides retirement solutions tailored to one's specific needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
There are 6 days left in WILL's fiscal year, and we have $210,000 to go. If you would like to help by making a donation, go to willpledge.org or call 217-244-9455. If you are an agricultural producer listening, go ahead and tell them it's for agriculture as well. It's not too late to join our Stronger Together campaign. Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading. Well, I can't do that because of my screen hiccuped. So instead, let's go out to Ellen Dearden of AgriView. She's in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
I know when I looked a little bit earlier, futures were doing a whole lot of nothing. Is that the case still?
No, we're actually up about 4 cents on the corn and the wheat, and the beans have been up about 10 or 11, now backed off a little bit in the July.
As traders continue to figure out what to do about all the rain.
Yeah, and there's focus really on two, maybe three things right now. Number one is weather. How much rain is too much rain? And I think on the wheat crop, especially what Drew said today, is this soft red winter wheat crop has really gone downhill, getting lots of rain. Looks like that's the rainy area for next week. Oklahoma and Kansas, some deterioration as well. The second thing that the focus is on is these Tuesday reports, both on acreage but grain stocks. And the general underlying feeling is that the bean stocks are going to be much less than what is calculable with the USDA weekly reports, and that really suggests that USDA overstated last year's bean crop, and there's been rumblings about that really for about 6 months. So look for rather low bean stocks. The question mark, I guess, is where corn stocks come in. Has exports, which have been just so-so, and livestock feeding, which has probably been scaled back slightly, is that going to mean that we've got a lot more corn stocks than what the trade's been looking for? I'm not sure. The acreage numbers are certainly up in the air. Wide guesses out from the trade already. Even the ones where we have surveys, the guesses don't seem to line up with one another. So I think with USDA saying that they'll probably make an announcement on Tuesday whether some states will be resurveyed for this report, I think that's the trade will not accept whatever number comes out on the acreage, thinking that the data was collected way early.
Yeah, and it's probably very likely we're going to see a resurvey at least on a couple of states, and it will be very interesting to see which of those states it is. Why don't we go ahead and talk a little bit about the livestock side?
Well, the livestock market really have seen a lot of choppy action in the cattle this week. We were down pretty hard yesterday, and both the feeders and the live cattle were lining up to be lower there again today. Hogs may be up a little bit. We have a hogs and pigs report coming out on Friday. The trade has really been focusing on a much larger tonnage coming at us at the end of the summer, and has seen hog prices backpedal from spring gains into this time frame. But the feeder cattle and the live cattle have surprised me, given how strong the cutouts are on the live cattle, that we're seeing the board work lower.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. July corn trading 372, up 5.5, now 5.75. September, 377.5, up 6. December, 386.5, up 6. July beans, 997.5, up 15.75. September, 974.75, up 17.75. And November, 974.75, up 18.75. July soybean meals, $3.35, up $7. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.